I always enjoy carrying a shofar out. There's a reason for many things, including the shofar. But that's not what I'm going to start with. Starting with a couple things this morning. Greg Weinert shared a prayer request with us yesterday about his down south family's pastor, Andy Rodriguez, in Cornerstone Baptist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. He and some others were helping, trying to get a car started, and the car jumped and crushed his legs between that car and a parked vehicle. And we don't know anything more than that today, other than we're gonna pray for Pastor Andy. We're also gonna pray for Greg Weinert, who's preaching at the Nazarene Church this morning. Praise God. Anybody else that's going to be preaching or leading music or anything somewhere else? Okay, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you. And Father, first of all, because of the immediacy of the moment, God, I lift up Brother Greg to you. And God, I ask you to anoint the words of his mouth and make them a blessing to you and the meditation of his heart as well. Father, I ask you to prepare not just his heart, but the heart of the folks at the Nazarene Church. God, I ask you to give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And Father, I ask that the service blesses you. And God, I pray that for us too. May we be a blessing to you this day. And for our brother in Christ, Pastor Andy, God, I just speak your life to him. And I pray that you heal him. And I don't know how that necessarily works one way or the other. Don't know any more than what little we've been shared. But God, I ask you to move mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you all, but I was pretty blessed with the song service this morning. The first song was I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And my favorite thing about that song occurred right before the fall of the Soviet Union. A group of pastors were touring Russia. And as they were walking through Red Square, I guess that would be between the court building in the Capitol in Juneau, or the South Capitol Lawn in Missouri, or the mall in Washington, D.C., but Red Square. And as they're walking along, one of the gentlemen with them, who was pastor of worship in his church, stops and says, "Men, I'll be right back." And he walks away from them, and he walks up on the steps of the Kremlin, the seat of government. And forgive me for what I'm about to do. He opens his mouth and he goes, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall." And according to one of the pastors who was standing there, he said, "I believe with my whole heart that every angel within the sound of his voice, every demon of hell within the sound of his voice, plummeted to their faces." And it was briefly after that that President Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." And he did. I would contend that in reality, God tore down a wall. So how often in our time do we have an opportunity to do what that man did on the steps of the Kremlin? Every day. Every day. I'd like to tell you that this is a message on warfare from a traditional stance. It's not. But is it a message on warfare? Yes, virtually everything is. It's not what we major in. What we major in is not a what, but a who, and his name's Jesus. But I brought this up because this is a tool of warfare. You know that the Israelites did not tear down the walls of Jericho, but they did blow the shofar. And most of your Bibles, when it says trumpet, don't think of a brass instrument with three valves, or occasionally four. I want you to think of a shofar. Different size ones. There's a lot of size ones. The simplicity of it. Remember, I'm old. it's going to get loud. No applause here. What you heard was the three notes that I can get out of this most of the time. Most of the time. The reality is when God calls upon the shofar to be blown, it's a weapon of warfare. When we sing praise songs, sing hymns, they're weapons of war. I can remember when nursery was behind those windows, actually, that was a solid wall. Well, in ways a little bit in a solid wall. And we were having a terrible time with nursery. We'd no more get to Jesus, and the kids would start screaming. And we prayed a lot of different things, and finally God gave us a solution. And it was simple. This is cassette tape days. We just put in cassette tapes of praise music. And where Jesus is lifted up, the enemy struggles to be. And it became very peaceful. Is that the answer every time? No, obedience is. Obedience is. And when we think of warfare, we frequently think of when we do, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. That is warfare. But I will tell you, it works best when God says, do that. And there's a lot of other forms of warfare. And I was listening to the music this morning. Do you recognize that Satan's original name was Lucifer? And he was the head of worship in heaven. And he was cast out because of his rebellion, because he felt that he should be the one lifted up, not Jesus. By the way, he was wrong. And he's still paying the penalty of that and will eternally. But I will tell you that every time that we lift up the name of Jesus, it's crushing to the enemy. Every time. So feel free. What was that word you just said? Hallelujah, woo! Worship, praise, but do it with your mouth from your heart, or with your hands from your heart, or like the song we just sang, we bow down. It's okay to bow down. I will tell you that I spent a lot more time on my faith than I do now, and I'll tell you the simplicity is it's just harder to get up now. Isn't that a terrible thing to admit? And I'll tell you, even when your legs are immobilized, I would do a push-up and then walk myself up because my first goal is always to be able to get back to standing again. And then you start tearing up shoulders, and it becomes really hard to stand up using your arms. But my first goal is always, how do I get up if I fall down? How do you get up spiritually when you fall down? It starts with the words of your mouth. It starts with worship. It starts with praise. And when you do it, make sure, as Yuming says, in essence, I use my words, but what you're saying in the morning is sit down on the inside. Be still before God. Open your heart to what God's doing, and then do what He's doing. Do what He's calling upon you to do. It's not complex. None of this is complex. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So if we sang an old hymn, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, sing it with authority. Today, I don't know if you caught it, we sang it with authority. This is a pretty clean room right now. And I would encourage you to make sure your homes are clean. Careful what you drag in and be specific on what you kick out. Of warfare other than shofar, music. We're going to go in the scripture and we're going to talk about a little bit. This morning when Yuming started us with scripture, it's Jesus going, I'm the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He is the one whom we seek. When light is present, like I said last week, darkness is gone. Darkness is not an entity. Darkness is an absence. It's an absence of light. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, if you have your Bibles with you and you want to follow along, if you turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 13. And this is, well, it's pretty simple. I'm going to read a few verses, 13 through 16, and then we're going to talk. The scripture reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You are the salt of the earth. I don't know how much you do with salt in your everyday lives. I know you're probably like me, probably put a little bit more than you should on your food sometimes. I'm getting better. But what does salt do? And it's really two things. One, it's seasoning. Scrambled egg with salt is better than a scrambled egg without salt. It just tastes better. So you got the seasoning side of it, and you bring seasoning to the world. You're supposed to bring seasoning to the world. The question is, do you? I know in the few months prior to coming to Christ, that's a non-scriptural way of saying it, but coming to Christ, I was hanging out with a friend who was a backslidden elder of a church in Sitka. He'd drive around at night consuming vast amounts of alcohol, and he was a police officer. We'd talk a lot, and I'd ask him questions. I'd go, "How can you do this? You say you're a Christian, but how can you do this?" And he goes, "Well, I'm not making God happy." And I go, "Well, wouldn't?" And this is a lost person speaking. "Well, if you're not making him happy, don't you think you ought to make him happy? Don't you think you should be doing what he says?" I go, "Like, you cheat on your wife all the time. Well, why do you do that?" And he goes, "Well, I want to." And I go, "So? So? You know, there's a lot of things that I've wanted to do that I don't do. And before I was a Christian, simply because I didn't want to go to jail. I mean, have you ever walked through someplace and seen something and go, wow, I really like that? Like right now, for instance, I think that 4-inch-barreled Ruger Red Hawk with an 8-round cylinder and 357 is a mighty pretty firearm. But I'm not going to steal one. Now, it's wrong, and it's wrong for me to lust after that firearm, which, by the way, I'm not. It's too heavy. But that's a side note for an old guy to carry all the time. But there's things out there that attract you. And just because something attracts you doesn't mean it should be yours. Doesn't mean you have the right to steal it. You don't. You know, they used to say that the only sin allowed Baptist preachers was gluttony. And I go, well, that's not true. There's no sin that's allowed, but many that we partake in. And gluttony, probably we're all somewhat guilty. And you know, if it's got sugar in it, maybe even more so. But we're dealing with salt. And the seasoning effect of salt is profound. And if you don't think that, just go for a week without any salt, not pre-cooking, not post-cooking. Eggs, by the way, if you scramble them up in a cup and put the salt in and then wait 10 minutes, one, it takes less salt, and two, it impregnates the mixture better. That's just a little side note for you. But it's also war, warfare, because of the seasoning you bring. This is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit flows through you, because when you're doing this, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is in another way sent forth. So every time that you do what's right because it's right, the light of the world's being revealed. The second part of it is this preservation thing. Salt is a preservative. You know, you couldn't have, the days of the tall ships couldn't have happened without salt pork. Couldn't have happened without dried fish that had salt, a lot of salt added. And it couldn't happen without hardtack. And if you don't know what hardtack is, go to YouTube and look up a recipe. It's a tooth breaker. But those three things, and their salt and hardtack, their salt, lot, and dried fish that they had on their vessels, particularly the English Navy, and then the salt pork, a staple, massive amounts of salt. It preserved. Society is preserved through the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And that's part of being salt. You preserve. And if you look at our society right now, you go, wow, it's pretty rough in our society. Well, what's the percentage of our society that are Christians right now in America? What percentage are we having? Did you know the Methodist Church has been going through a split worldwide? I've been following it for years. Because I could readily see Southern Baptist in the same quandary. And in Nigeria, it's very obvious. The global Methodist Church wants all of the property that the Methodist Church of Nigeria has. One, these are our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted heavily right now. They're being hauled out of their homes and executed. It's very rough in Nigeria. The battle is over some things like, is it okay to be gay? Is it okay to be involved in adultery? Is it okay to do other things just because you want to? And I will tell you, the position of the Nigerian Methodists are no. In fact, 2016, I believe it was, at their national convention, the international convention, there was a discussion about gay pastors and not gay pastors. And the Nigerians said, we don't need for you to tell us what you want Scripture to say. We have the capacity to read it ourselves. And it was just an issue. That's one of the major issues for them. So I'm not asking you where you stand on anything today. If you don't know where you stand, then see me later and I'll help you out. But I will tell you that every time you stand for the cause of Christ, time that you walk in obedience to Christ, you're walking in warfare. You know, there's an old saying that I believe to be absolutely true, that every Marine is a rifleman. It doesn't matter who you are, every Marine is a rifleman. Every Christian is involved in warfare, whether you like it or not. Every Christian is called to praise God. Every Christian is called to walk in obedience. And every time that you worship, every time that you praise, which is tied up in worship, and every time that you walk in obedience, you're fighting the good fight. You're fighting the good fight. And this goes on after the first verse. First verse reads, you're the salt of the earth. Salt, if it's lost its flavor, can you make it salty again? The answer is no. It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Are you the real thing? Are you a born-again child of the King? Are you? You know, here's the bottom line on this. Unless God specifically reveals it about someone, we all take you at your word. We take you at your word. I asked my friend that was a backslidden elder of a church. I said, so are you the real thing? Are you really a Christian? Are you the real thing? And this was his response. I don't know. I don't know. You know, one pastor many years ago made a statement that I believe is absolutely true. He said, most of the time in church, we're not having fellowship with the Lord. We're having fellowship with other people talking about the Lord. There's a difference of walking in fellowship with each other and walking in fellowship with God. And I will tell you this, the salt of the earth are the people that walk in fellowship with Jesus. This is a big deal. So it goes on and tells us that, in essence, what it's saying is shaking comes. We've been having some shaking going on. You know what? That's okay. Because what it does is it separates the wheat from the tares. It separates salt from pretend salt. It goes on and says, you are the light of the world. But wait, 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 wait. Different book, John 14. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You're a reflection of his light. If you're the real thing, you're the reflection of the light. And when it goes on and says, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. You know, again, like I said last week, if you're in Carlsbad Cavern and you light a little bitty candle, it is so bright. It just, darkness disappears. As far as that light can reach, darkness dies, even though all it is absence, because it can't exist where the light is. And when you've got Jesus in your heart, you become the light of the world. When you stand up for Christ, you become the light of the world. When you walk full of the Holy Spirit, you engage in warfare. And the warfare is so simple. Okay, Lord, we're coming up on Jericho tomorrow. What's the plan? That's a good answer. And the follow-up is God provided the plan? And they just marched around the city. They got up and they marched around the city. Nothing happened. Then the next day, they marched around the city. Nothing happened. 6 days in, they marched around the city. Nothing happened. Seventh day, they marched around the city. What, seven times? They marched around the city. And then they blew the shofar. And then the walls ceased to hold together because God said. They just did what God said. And I will tell you, at First Baptist Juneau, Alaska, all that we ask is that you do what God said. Because of Jesus in your heart, you're the light of the world. Don't try to hide it, because if you try to hide it, it's worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And then in verse 15, it says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Well, why would you? Why would you walk into your home when you get home tonight after Greg Weinert speaks of Genesis to us, and you go home and it's almost dark, and you flip a switch on the wall and a light comes on? But you can't see anything because you think, oh, when I get home, I'm going to flip the switch. But wait, let me put this big cardboard box on top of it. Then I'm going to put a blanket over the box because when I flip the light on, I don't want light. What? You know how ignorant that sounds? So the question comes down, if you have Jesus in your heart, you are the light of the world. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're called to shine, not whine. You're called to shine. In all circumstances, you're called to shine. Does that get hard sometimes? Well, if you just heard what Evie said to me, then you understand. Well, do Evie and I ever argue? Sure we do. Do we rejoice in the process? Yeah. Sometimes we have to get straight, usually when I'm wrong. That happens a lot. So shine. If you hurt someone, go to them. Make it right. That's called shining. If someone offends you, forgive them. Well, wait a minute. You told me to go make it right, and now you're telling me to make it right. Yeah, I am. Forgiveness is a precious gift through our Lord Jesus Christ to you. And no matter what happens to you, it's less than he put up with just for you, not to mention the rest of them. So shine. Just walk in grace and just walk in love. It's really okay. If you're going to mess up on the side of love. If you're going to mess up on the side of grace. Be what Jesus has called you to be, the light of the world. You know, the way this works, and I get so excited about this, is God the Father sent Jesus the Son to do his explicit, perfect will. He didn't say, it's okay to modify what I'm saying to you. He said, no, I want you to do my explicit will. And we know that because Jesus said that's what he said. And then Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's not going to do anything that I don't tell him to do the explicit will of the Son. And I'm going to tell you now that you are a vessel designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's you. You're designed to be full of him. And you know what you're supposed to do? The explicit will that the Holy Spirit shares with you, because that's what Jesus wants, because the Father told the Son. That's called warfare. Walking in obedience is warfare. You're engaged in warfare. Every time that you walk in obedience, heaven shudders. There's some movies that are being advertised right now that honestly are I think originated in the pits of hell. They're just nasty to the point that I'll change the channel when the commercial comes on. It's bothering me so much. I'd rather be a bother to the enemy, though. Then it goes on and says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now, I'd point out to you that it doesn't say, let your deeds so shine that they can point and go, look what Rob's done. Woo! Glory to God. He's a good guy. He is a good guy, and he does good things. I might have been outside the Sunday school room talking about driving by and seeing cars on the side of the road, but I thought that was very, really good, by the way. I may have been. But the question is, does what you do point people to Jesus? Do you do those things that point people to Jesus? Or do you do things so people go, oh, Greg's, he's a good guy. He's just like us. And I point that one out because years ago there was a building in town at 210 Admiral Way. It was called the police department. And after briefing, I loved working midnights in Juneau. I adored it. I had made friends with, well, friends probably not because I arrested them a lot. But I had great relationship with all the winos, the people that were going to drink in public. I had relationships with, in a positive way, with all of the kids that lived on the streets and or hung out a lot there, all of the prostitutes, all of the guys that like to hang out with the prostitutes, the bartenders, a lot of the people that like to hang out in all the bars, because part of my job was, boy, briefing is over. I'm out that back door, near the corner, turn left. First one on the left is the lucky lady. Across the street was one I cannot remember the name of that was big that I despised, but that's a side note. I love foot patrol because you engage human beings. And the worst person on South Franklin and Front Street was a person that Jesus died for. Every bartender is a person that Jesus died for. And you know, I will tell you that there's a thing that they've got in a lot of the bars downtown that we're not always so good at. You know, because if you go there regularly, that's a place where everybody knows your name. Obviously, I just quoted Cheers. Are we always the place that everybody knows your name? Or do we need to step up our game? Sometimes the world emulates us, not we're always the way they should, but sometimes they do better at fellowship than we do. Not saying do it their way, but I'm saying, beloved, love one another, for love is of God. And those that don't love really don't know God, because God is love. Your deeds, what are your deeds? What are the things that you do that show people that, one, you love them? And do you know that people that smell bad still need love like everybody else, maybe more so? I want you to remember what I've told both pastor groups in town. The first one were the liturgical people. When at one point one of them said, "Why are you hanging with us?" And my answer was simple, "Why am I doing it, or why am I telling the others?" And they said both. And I go, "Well, I'm doing it because I want the opportunity to love on you, and I hope to experience your love for me." They said, "Well, what are you going to tell the other group?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to tell the other that I'm doing what Jesus said. I'm hanging out with a bunch of sinners." And they went, and then one of them said, "Well, what are you going to tell us why you're hanging out with the other group?" And I go, "Because I'm doing what Jesus said, and I'm hanging out with a bunch of sinners. Either way, that's who I'm hanging out with." And I will tell you that from that liturgical group downtown, I've experienced more love from them than I ever have from the evangelicals. But I haven't given up on the evangelicals either. Sometimes we get so full of ourselves that we don't know what we're doing. What are your deeds? Do you do a good job even when it's hard, because you're doing your work as if you're doing it directly for the Lord? That's a big deal. Who was the guy that did the thing, the change on the furnace downstairs? The Travis? Military background? Okay, yeah, Travis. I felt like that he did absolutely the best possible job that was within his capacity to do. And he didn't know me from Adam. Well, I don't know if he knew Adam at all. But the fact is, he did good work. Look good to me. And not that I'm any judge. Here's the way I know that plumbing is good: if I flush the toilet, it goes away. That's good plumbing. I can't sweat joints on copper. I basically know how to cut PVC and clean it up and glue it, but I don't trust me to do it. I used to be able to change the oil in a car when they didn't have computers. Pretty incompetent, but there's people that are really good, and I trust them all the time to do their jobs, because I trust, even if they're not a Christian, that they're doing the best they can. And if they are a Christian, I'm trusting that they're doing it as unto the Lord. But what about you? Are you doing it as unto the Lord? When you're sitting there with your spouse and it's difficult, the work that you're doing, you should be doing as unto the Lord. When you're with your child, it should be the same. I used to tell my deputies, this is a hard thing. We had a general staff meeting, and I said, "Folks, I know some of you are going through really hard things. And every day when you come to work, if you're a guy and you just left the house, and right before you left the house, your dog bit you. You found out your son's on drugs, your daughter's pregnant, and your wife's leaving you. That's pretty rough. on top of it, you got a bad result from the doctor on your own health. And when you show up with that 6-point gold star on your chest and that Glock 17 on your hip, and you're empowered by the state of Missouri and the United States of America to be able, under circumstances, to deprive people of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the public doesn't need to know that your wife's leaving you and your daughter's pregnant and your son's doping and your dog bit you. They need you to treat them as if you were treating the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a choice you make. And you know what? That's called hard, because our emotions get all bound up in this. But we can walk through, because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, to the tearing down of strongholds, to overcoming the enemy when the enemy comes against you. The first message that I ever preached in this building was called Hedged to a Point for a Purpose. And it was really the story of Job. And you know, the first chapter of Job is, if you look at it and read it, it's horrid. Satan talking to God. Still has access to the throne room of God right now, which I don't understand, but there's a time coming where he does not. And the accuser was going, well, what about your, or no, God says, well, what about my child Job? And Satan's response is, well, you have him hedged about where I can't get to him. Give me access to him. Then we'll see how he does. And God said, okay, you can't touch his wife and you can't touch him, but you can touch anything else. Lost his whole family except his wife. I mean, it was a mess, but never did he come against God, but rather worshiped. And at the end, his end, by the way, was better than his beginning. No matter what you're walking through, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Be that. Let your deeds dictate Jesus Christ in your life. Honor him in all that you do. It's not complex, but it's not easy. This is where you die to self daily and you choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the self you're dying to is your old man, the one that was bound up in sin before you came to Christ. That's who you're dying to. So you can walk in the newness of life that Jesus has brought to you. To you. You can tell David that I am so tired of wearing this, but I'm going to because I'm being obedient. I still get them up, but I would point out to you that I'm submitting to my doctor because he knows better than I. You know, it's like Jesus. I submit to the Lord because he knows better than I. It's that simple. He knows better than I know. He knows everything, and yet I have free will. I have free will to choose to obey or sin. Does he know what I'm going to do? Yes. But he gives me free will so I can choose. So I choose love, and I choose to love Jesus. I choose to walk in obedience to Christ. I strive to walk in his perfect will. I blow it, but I strive to walk in his perfect will. Not his permissive will, not in sin, but I aim for the high calling of Jesus Christ. The question is, do you? Because there's a lot in life that's just not easy. Just not easy. JK and Bria and Tel are going to be traveling this week, Tuesday, going down to New Mexico, and JK's going to preach his grandfather, 98-year-old grandfather who passed away this past week. He is going to be preaching his funeral, and we're going to in a little bit we're going to have him come up here, and we're going to actually we'll have all of them come up here, but we'll lay hands and anoint and send them forth, knowing that we're going to pray for the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ over that whole family gathering, family and friends. We are a praying church because we believe that God's called us to pray. He's called us to be a church that believes that He moves, that He does real things. I don't understand who gets healed and who doesn't. I don't understand who gets healed through medical care and who gets healed dramatically on the spot. I don't understand who gets to speak a bunch of different languages and who doesn't. I'm a dozen. I don't understand all those things, but I do understand that I have a Savior that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's in His venue. It's in His venue, not mine. And I choose to love Him first. And the hard always it's always hard to say this, but I choose to love Him more than I love my wife. I choose to love Him more than I do Josiah or John or Crystal or August or Eliza, who's on the way, because He's called me to love Him first, and then everybody else after that. Evie and I made that clear to each other the night I proposed, that at best, Evie was second in my life, and at best, I was second in her life, because God's first. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not hard. Well, it's not complex. It's hard sometimes. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know what that's called? Your testimony. That's your testimony. So that means I've got to flip over and read this scripture again. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And then in verse 17 it says, and the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. All who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus, that's who he was mad at. And then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. And there's more that goes there, but I want to take you back to verse 11. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. That's you all. That's me. That's Evie. Commitment time. So if the worship team wants to come forward, the commitment is simple. I choose Jesus continually in my life. It's this continual process of salvation, of you being made over in the image of Jesus. Today, I choose Jesus. Tomorrow, I choose Jesus. In the middle of the night tonight, I choose Jesus. I can tell you, while I was waiting on being married, you know, I'd proposed and she'd said yes. Now we had to wait till September. And I remember waking up in my bedroom, and in the middle of this process, there was a dream going on, and I was being tempted. And I woke up from the dream going, I will not do that. I stand for Jesus. Even in your dreams, it's okay to stand for Jesus. It's better than okay. It's what you're required to do. If you'd stand, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And when you sing with authority, mean the words, mean with your whole heart the words that we're going to sing. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, Lord. What you want, we choose to want, even when it's hard. We choose you, Lord Jesus, because when it was hard, you chose us. When it was hard, you bore our sin. When it was hard, you shed your blood. We choose you, Lord, in Jesus' name.